Hey, everybody, this is James Bradley, JB East, waving from New Zealand to France, where I see that cute boy, JB West, Jeff Brown. Hello, Jeff.
How are you doing, JB East?
I'm okay. And I want to say to the listeners that we started this JBJB thing because obviously Jeff is in Europe and I'm here in the Pacific. I've written mostly about the Pacific, and Jeff has lived a lot of time in Europe, and we talk a lot on WhatsApp, and we inform each other with different views. You know, we're so far away in looking at entirely different worlds, and listeners will know that when things got hot in Europe, I called Jeff, and all of a sudden we're doing a podcast on the fact that the CIA had been involved in with Ukrainian Nazis since World War II, that this is nothing new, maybe new to the public that doesn't listen to JB East and JB West, but we did the history of the Nazis. And then I'm like, hey, Jeff, I heard that there's some bioweapons factories, American bioweapons factories in the Ukraine, but I've heard it, but I haven't really seen much on it. And then what a dumbbell I am. I'm talking to Jeff, who's the co-founder of the Bioweapons Truth Commission. And Jeff goes, oh, James, you want to know about bioweapons in Ukraine? He emails me a map with the names of the different, he knows them all. What do you want to know, James? You know? And I was so fascinated. That's when we started on this series of evidence in Ukraine. These are war crimes trials, things that will be presented by the Russians. They've got the Americans in the West kind of by the balls in terms of this bioweapons evidence. Organ harvesting. Remember that one that we did? Jeff will have them all up. You know, we talked about the money going to Ukraine, and today we're going to do more, I hate to say, horror stories, bioweapons in Ukraine. And I'll turn it over to JB West. It's just fascinating material that Jeff has come up with. And we all have to tip our hats to Jeff, who's been on this before almost all of the media. And he's gone deeper, and he's given us more evidence than you can find anywhere else. So take it away, JB West.
Thanks, James. We started this, well, we've been going for a lot longer, but as far as the Ukrainian bio WMD bioweapon story, we've been on this since May, and we've had four big exposés, which I will post on this post so that you all can go back and look at them. And then we even went the extra effort and had our exposés transcribed, and so that for those people who like to read instead of listen or watch can also learn. We are in not only Russia, but the whole world is in the evidentiary period of an upcoming Russian war crime trial that will be held. And I do want to, before we close out, I want to point out to everybody what's going on in Russia in the Duma, their House of Representatives, because this is the real deal. What the Russians are doing is they are showing that what is going on in Ukraine is not some, you know, madcap scientist who went awry. The Russians are showing that the United States and the West in general have pathologically and psychopathically been using WMD bioweapons since 1945 up to today. And through all of this evidentiary period, and we have reported all this in our four previous ones on this subject, They're going back to Shiro Ishii and the Unit 731 in China, which the United States took Shiro Ishii, the mad scientist, and his top people back to Fort Detrick to create the largest WMD bioweapon a production center in the world. This while the Russians were waiting for the United States to send Shiro Ishii to Russia for the Khabarov trials, which they finally held in 1950 and convicted 12 of the Japanese that were working in Unit 731. But they were the low-hanging fruit, the top guys, the geniuses, the bosses of Unit 731, went to work for the U.S. military at Fort Detrick. So then the Russians are now going into the Korean War because it's so patently obvious that the United States used bioweapons in Korea with the hopes of exterminating millions and millions of Chinese and North Koreans. Then in our last report that we did, they're going back to the Cuba, because Cuba is the second most attacked country by the United States with bioweapons. And they're showing a consistent pattern of WMD bioweapon use by the United States with the help of or the participation of other Western allies, going back into the 1970s and 80s, and now we're up into the 2000s. So this is building a huge war crime case, proving that the United States has an established modus operandi, a criminal MO, to use WMD bioweapons around the world with the hopes of genocidally exterminating millions of its enemies. I like the other reports that we have done, I have the slides from the Russian Ministry of Defense. The green screen video will have these. I have also uploaded the slides visually on this article page today. And I also put them together into a PDF file so you can download them for yourself and study them and share them and discuss them with whomever you wish. Slide number one is they went through and studied a U.S. report called the CBEP, and stands for Cooperative Biological Enhancement Program. I mean, they're just practically admitting that biological enhancement program. I mean, that's WMD bioweapons, and this is an official U.S. report that came out. But all these reports, they end up shooting themselves in the foot and expose themselves. What this report shows is that Ukraine has not shown progress in implementing WHO internal health regulations for the past 5 years. There is no legislation on the control of highly dangerous pathogens. It is impossible for the laboratories to respond effectively to public health emergencies. Gross violations such as unlocked perimeter fencing systems, unlatched windows, broken or inactive access control and alarm systems are common in most of the U.S. WMD bioweapon labs in Ukraine. And as I will point out to you, the deputy director of Russia's House of Representatives is saying that this was done on purpose. They had no controls in order to allow all of these highly dangerous microbes to be released into the areas where the laboratories are to create infections, and so that they could study the effects. The United States could study the effects of all of these highly dangerous diseases on the local population. This is supposed to be Cooperative Biological Enhancement Program, which even mentions that the Soros Foundation has contributed to the development of an open and democratic society. Of course, George Soros has invested heavily in WMD bioweapon laboratories in Ukraine through companies like Metabiota and Black and Veatch, which we'll be getting into. This is big money. They have spent $250 million since 2005 up to 2016, which is where this report got to. This again, the Russians say, quote, "It confirms again the official activities of the Pentagon in Ukraine are just a front for illegal military and biological research." They have also pointed out that incredibly, the U.S. Democratic Party is heavily involved in this with Joe Biden, George Soros, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and the super criminal Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son. What they found out is they're getting more information is that Metabiota, which gets all of its contracts from the Pentagon, is actually and which Hunter Biden and his cronies have invested heavily into Metabiota. Quote, "The available data suggests that Metabiota is merely a front for internationally dubious purposes and is used by the U.S. political elite to carry out opaque financial activities in various parts of the world." And James and I have already covered this, organ harvesting and bioweapons, but also money laundering that the Western elites have been using Ukraine as a washing machine to wash billions of dollars of criminally gained money. Slide number two shows how Metabiota, and again, they're building a global case. This is not just Ukraine, this is the whole world. And so they went to West Africa, and they talk about the Ebola epidemic in West Africa, and how Metabiota's employees were almost, if they were not criminally negligent, then they were doing it on purpose. They were trying to spread the disease. A lot of people don't know this, but Ebola is actually a virus that is patented by the U.S. Army. Ebola, I will repeat that one more time. Ebola, one of the most deadly, highly infectious diseases in the history of humankind, is patented by the U.S. Army. And I followed all of these epidemics back in 2014, 2015 in West Africa, because I traveled all over Africa for 10 years and love the area, love the people, love the culture. And I went to Sierra Leone, I went to Liberia, I went to Guinea, where the United States has these WMD bioweapon labs. And what do you know? They're experimenting with Ebola and developing Ebola strains in these laboratories in West Africa. And what do you know? There's an Ebola epidemic in West Africa. It's everywhere. There are these WMD bioweapon labs that the United States has dotted all over the world. There are epidemics and pandemics of what they're studying around the perimeter of these labs. According to the document, Metabiota staff failed to comply with handling procedures and concealed the involvement of Pentagon staff who were using the company as a front. Americans, are you shocked? I mean, are you angry at this? The main purpose of these activities was to isolate highly virulent variants of Ebola from sick and dead people, as well as to export its strains to the USA. So this is what's going on in Ukraine. We talked about hepatitis A and other diseases in Ukraine spreading and always being around the bioweapon labs in Ukraine. The United States dehumanizes these people. It's okay to use them as guinea pigs. And one of our earlier ones, you know, Americans were torturing and doing psychological torture, MK Ultra, CIA type mental torture and physical torture on mental patients in Ukraine. You have to really dehumanize your victims to do things like to do these kind of war crimes. Get a load of this. If Metabiota does cultivate blood cells from patients with confirmed Ebola virus disease in the laboratory, we suggest that such activities be stopped immediately. So what they were doing is Metabiota, the Pentagon was releasing Ebola in West Africa. And I even did some reports on this on my website back in 2014 and 2015. And reported about how the Ebola virus is patented by the U.S. Army. Those same labs, by the way, do Zika. You know, the Zika fever. Guess who has the patent on Zika fever? The Rockefeller Foundation. What a coincidence! And so, where are we getting these Zika outbreaks? In West Africa. After the Ebola, we now have Zika outbreaks in West Africa because they release these pathogens on the local population like worse than lab rats, worse than guinea pigs, infect them, and then they draw their blood in order to find the most virulent strains possible of these pathogens, Ebola and Zika, and then they ship those back to the United States to be weaponized. To Fort Detrick, where Shiro Ishii started in 1945.
Can I interrupt for a second, Jeff?
Yeah, go ahead.
So you asked, you know, hey, Americans, are you angry? I'm an American, and let me just give you my reaction. In Vietnam, I studied there for a while and realized my father paid for napalm with his taxes. And I saw what napalm did to people. I know people who've been napalmed. And I've been to Agent Orange villages where, a 60-year-old mother has never had her 40-year-old kids say, hello, mother. It's just unbelievable. And my father was paying for that with his taxes. So now I'm learning what I was paying for with my taxes. Folks, Senator Obama in 2005, to make sure he had a complete worldview of the Democratic Party's activities, was taken to Ukraine to look at some of these deadly pathogens. There's a photo of him looking at anthrax. I didn't know that I, as a taxpayer, was paying for this. Now that I know, I want to complain about this, and I want everything Jeff is talking about stopped worldwide. So that's my reaction as an American.
So true, James. What's really interesting is that Ebola, and I'll just to seek back in, Ebola is a tropical disease affecting countries around the equator. Highly, highly pathogenic, 40% mortality rate. In 2014, when the WMD bioweapon labs, U.S. labs in West Africa released these, and Metabiota was, you know, using these poor people like lab rats to get their blood to isolate the virus to ship off to Fort Detrick, 11,000 of the 28,000 people who were contaminated died. That is a mortality rate of 40%. American taxpayers' dollars spent millions and millions of dollars to genocidally exterminate 11,000 Africans in order to create a more powerful and more deadly Ebola virus. What's crazy is that these documents show that the United States was requesting funding. The United States was requesting funding to diagnose Ebola in pathogens in Ukraine. So what this means is that the United States was going to all use their 46 WMD bioweapon labs in Ukraine to weaponize them into more dangerous virulent forms of the virus. Slide number three is about the fact that it's not just the United States that's involved here. James and I have already talked about Germany and Poland being heavily involved in bioweapon research with the United States, hiding behind veterinary labs to do their work. This one continues to go on. The Germans were extremely interested in Congo Crimean fever. This is drawing thousands of blood samples from Ukrainians. And the as far as a bioweapon, Congo Crimean fever is heavily studied because the mortality rate can be as high as 30%, and it costs a lot of money for the survivors to get cured. Now, listen to this. This is a quote from the Bundeswehr's instructions. Pay particular attention to fatal cases of infection with Crimean Congo fever, as it allows the virus strains with maximum pathogenicity, which means kill power, and virulence for humans to be extracted from the dead individuals, end of quote. This is like some kind of a zombie movie. No. This is Germany with the United States in Ukraine infecting Ukrainians like lab rats, just like the poor Africans with Ebola and Zika, so that they can draw blood in order to find the most virulent strains possible to then weaponize them back in Fort Detrick in the United States to begin the cycle again. They love tick-borne. By the way, the Congo Crimean fever is a tick-borne infection. Those of us like James and me who grew up in Wisconsin and Oklahoma and went hunting and fishing know all about ticks. And because ticks carry all kinds of diseases that bioweapons developers love, such as tularemia, deer tick fever, West Nile fever, Congo Crimean fever, and of course Lyme disease, which was actually a bioweapon developed by the United States in New York on an island in the Hudson River. I think it was called Plum Island. Yeah, Plum Island. And it's interesting to know. Yeah, Long Island Sound.
It's Long Island Sound, and then it went across to Lyme, Connecticut.
Yeah, there we go. There you go. That was actually a bioweapon produced by the United States on its own people, and now Lyme disease is a global problem, thanks to the USA's WMD bioweapon programs. It's really interesting to notice as you go through all of these. James and I already talked about how Colorado State was involved with Ukraine to produce a new mysterious neuropeptide from the yellow fever mosquito. And we talked about how dangerous neuropeptides can be. And we also talked about how the University of North Carolina, Anthony Fauci of the famous National Institutes of Health, and Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina weaponized COVID-19. Ralph Baric got $68 million to weaponize COVID-19, and then they gave the Wuhan Institute in China a little dog bone of $3.6 million so that they could then, tar the Chinese with what was actually a U.S. bioweapon. And so now here we have the University of Texas A&M. So the universities in the United States now are all for profit, and so they get Pentagon contracts, and they're happy to engage in war crimes because they get paid for it. What they point out is that all of this tick research is in the southeast corner of no longer now, because the Russians have now reabsorbed it back into the Federation, but that they have shown that these tick-borne diseases have been spreading dramatically where the tick-borne disease bioweapon research is taking place. So again, it's where all of this WMD bioweapon research happens, pandemics and epidemics of that disease follow, just like the hepatitis A in the Ukraine, massive hepatitis outbreaks in Ukraine, around 12 of the U.S. bioweapon labs in the Ukraine. So they are saying that these tick-borne diseases are being developed, not controlled, being developed, and have also gone way up into Eastern Europe. Kind of funny, you know, the Poles are, you know, involved in bioweapon research, and then they get a taste of their own medicine with these diseases being spread by the Germans with ticks in Poland. Oh gosh. All right. Slide number four. Again, this goes into, we're getting away from ticks now. We're just getting into good old fashioned economic biological warfare, where you spread diseases, especially in agriculture and animal husbandry, in order to destroy the food supply, in order to destroy the economy, and hurt the people. This is Black and Veatch and Metabiota. Again, they've got more documentation, supposedly under the rubric of veterinary projects, but they weren't veterinary, they were bioweapon projects, developing agricultural vectors like glanders, African swine fever, classical swine fever, highly pathogenic avian influenza, and Newcastle disease. All of these, if they get an outbreak like this, typically what happens is many, if not most, and sometimes all of the entire national herd has to be slaughtered and burned in order to start over. This, of course, costs countries like Cuba billions and billions and billions of dollars when they lost their poultry and hogs, tobacco, sugar, etc., when they were attacked by the United States. And what do you know? Here's another one. The University of Florida in Gainesville, they got a nice fat contract from the Pentagon to work with in the Ukraine and in areas bordering Belarus and Russia, who are the enemies of the perceived enemies of the West. So here we have another university, Gainesville, Florida, helping the United States Pentagon to develop highly pathogenic disease vectors to wipe out Russia's swine poultry populations. But you always get this blowback. The African swine fever blew back into the Eastern European countries, and Poland, Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia had tens of thousands of cases of African swine fever, and they had losses exceeding 2.4 billion euros. and yet they're against the China, and yet they're against the Russians. So again, where this supposed research, which is really nothing more than WMD bioweapon development, where that kind of research goes, pandemics of the same thing, of the same vectors happen in the region. And this is, you know, they talked about, now slide number five, in our last report, the one we did on July 1st, our show number 26, they talk about Cuba, again, to build the case of American MO, modus operandi. They talked about what the United States did to Cuba. Here, slide number five, they go into what happened in Korea in during the Korean War. Again, Shiro Ishii was even reported to be on a boat off the coast of Incheon, maybe it was Jeju Island. I think it was either Jeju or Incheon, on a boat helping the United States cook up these bombs to drop on the border of the Yalu River between China and North Korea. If you want to see all this, it's all available on the Bioweapon Truth Commission. They're using a report that we have in English, Chinese, and Russian, called the International Scientific Report Commission, the ISCR, a commission report by Joseph Needham. There's a lot of information here. I don't want to go into it, but I mean, they just found insects, 160, insects that had never been seen in North Korea and China, on the ground, on the snow, all over the place. They even found a report that the United States proudly said, the U.S. Air Force secured additional funds to purchase large quantities of chemical and biological munitions, obtained a test range for them in Canada, and did extensive conceptual work on their use. This was during the Korean War. And one of the reasons was to strike at Soviet grain crops. So they were already testing back in the 1950s, virus and insect vectors to wipe out the Soviet grain harvest. You're in Korea, flies, fleas, spiders, beetles, bed bugs, crickets, mosquitoes. You know, in Korea in the winter, I mean, give me a break. They even found, you know, huge batches of insects, clustered together, such as flies and spiders in the middle of winter. They even found a species of fish that lives in regions between fresh and salt water, were found on a mountain, on a mountaintop in a village in a mountain. And the fish were found to have been infected with cholera. Isn't that nice? Thinking the people were going to eat the fish because they were hungry, because they were in war. So the United States was hoping that the Koreans would eat the fish and get cholera and wipe out millions of North Koreans. This, my friends, is the promise of America. The list of diseases is quite long. I'm not going to go into them. Anyway, bioweapon, www.bioweapontruth.com, and then look at, there's a whole section on Ukraine. I've got all these documents and more there. And I've also got the International Science Commission report from 1952 that shows all of this. Shocking, shocking. Well, I'm not shocked because I've been studying this for years, but for most people, it's shocking. But for all of us, it should be revolting and fill us all full of anger and hopefully, you know, talk about it and try to put a stop to this madness that's been going on since World War II. Slide number six, the last one. It's very interesting. You know, of course, the Russians have captured thousands and thousands of Ukrainian POWs, and they're sick. They've talked about how they're sick. You know, they're shocked at the physical condition of the Ukrainian soldiers, and The Russians, who respect the Geneva Convention on the on prisoners of war, actually feed them and clothe them and house them and take care of them and give them medical care. You do not want to be a prisoner of war. Well, actually, James wrote about it in Flyboys. POWs often get treated very, very badly. But Russia's POWs. So they took blood samples of all of these soldiers to try to, you know, see what's going on with them. And this is shocking. This is absolutely shocking. They found that 4% of them had fever with kidney syndrome, which goes back to the hantavirus. They studied hantaviruses. U.S. lab studied hantaviruses, which are implicated in fever with kidney syndrome. Get a load of this. 20% of the soldiers, the Ukrainian POWs, had West Nile fever. I mean, and 1/3 of them had hepatitis A. Can you imagine that one out of every three Ukrainian soldiers is running around with hepatitis A, highly infectious hepatitis A, and one out of five is running around with highly infectious West Nile fever. It's very interesting, of course, all three of these hantaviruses, West Nile fever and hepatitis A, have all been researched by the WMD bioweapon labs. U.S. labs. What's more interesting is that they found that the Ukrainian soldiers were also pumped full of narcotics, stimulants, and antibiotics. They had high levels of amitriptyline, which is a mood enhancer to fight depression. They had high levels of carbamazepine, which is a bipolar, a medicine used for bipolar people, but is also make people not feel pain. They were also full of high levels of antibiotics like aflozoxin and sulfamethadone. So they were actually, the Russians don't know if they were possibly being pumped full of these antibiotics with the anticipation of pulling off a false flag bioweapon attack to blame the Russians, or they were using them as guinea pigs to see how they reacted to with these drugs for hepatitis A, West Nile fever, etc. I want to close out, James, with the fact that this is no longer just the Ministry of Defense of Russia. The Russian embassy in the USA is now starting to talk about all this evidence because it's so conclusive. You know, James knows that diplomats are incredibly conservative, incredibly cautious, and incredibly incremental, and they don't want to do anything rash or outrageous. But the fact that now the Russian embassy at their press meetings is talking about this, it's kind of hard for Bloomberg and Reuters to avoid it when the Russian embassy has a press conference in Washington and is talking about these. And they recently had comments again, talking about a lot of this, how the United States was trying to destroy Russia's the Soviet grain crops, and they're starting to pick up on the Russian MOD evidence and taking it to the next level, which is mass media. They talked about how, you know, the vectors for African swine fever. This is now in the lexicon of Russian diplomacy. And it's, again, how long can Reuters and Agence France-Presse and other news agencies, AP and others, avoid this. How long they can go along with this, I don't know. I will close out by telling you that the deputy chairman of the Russian State Duma, which is the lower house, the House of Representatives for the U.S. people, or the parliament for English people, that she's the deputy chairman. I mean, she's like the number two person for the entire lower house. They have actually set up an ongoing Russian parliamentary investigation into U.S. biological malfeasance in Ukraine. She has been quoted as saying, and again, this goes back to what I was telling you about how they were leaving the windows and the doors open on these labs in order to infect the people to test their new weaponized versions of all these vectors to see what would happen. And the deputy chairman, Irina Yarovaya, said that she said on July 7th that there will be a final report from the Russian Ministry of Defense in the autumn. So that's 2 or 3 months away. Here's what she said. Most likely those who created these laboratories were interested in ensuring that these laboratories were not adequately protected, not only in corruption, but also in order to carry out a live experiment in this way to monitor what the reaction from the population would be, what the mortality rate would be, what the consequences would be. And so this goes all back to the fact that there were 12 major outbreaks of hepatitis A in Ukraine, and they all happened right around 12 U.S. WMD bioweapon laboratories. So this is going international. And what's going to end up happening is that, I mean, this is worse. I mean, I don't know what James thinks, but I mean, to me, this is at least as bad as what happened in Nazi Germany. And I think it's even worse because of the implication is you can only kill so many people in concentration camps, but bioweapons can kill tens, hundreds of millions, even billions of people. And this is what the United States is trying to do. And so another quote from, we are planning to organize an international tribunal on the Republic's territory, said Denis Pushilin, the leader of a Russian-controlled territory in the Donetsk region. These trials would serve, listen to this, these trials would serve as a lesson for everyone who forgot the lessons of Nuremberg. So, my friends, what's going to happen is Russia is going to present all of this information, not only with the U.S., not only with their embassy, to Reuters and Bloomberg at their press conferences at the embassies around the world, but they are also going to present this to the United Nations Security Council. I'm sure every one of the 192 members of the United Nations offices in New York will receive copies of it. And if the United States and France and England block an investigation into all of this evidence, overwhelming evidence of what the United States has been doing since 1945, I suspect then that China and Russia, the other two members of the Security Council, we'll go to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. They'll go to BRICS, and they will build a coalition to expose all of this so that it can never happen again. Thank you, James.
Well, no, thank you, Jeff. And I'd just say to the listener, you know, we're not some pro-Russian guys, some anti-American guys. You've got to depoliticize this. And if you're an American listening to this, you are paying for this. And do you know any of your representatives, senators? Can you write a letter? Can you get this to editors? You are paying for this. If you agree with it, keep paying and don't do anything. If you're not an American, can you get this podcast to an American? And, you know, beyond anger and beyond listening to a podcast about yucky things, what can we do? How can you make this public? How can you just nudge a friend and ask them to listen to this? And ask Americans, do you want to pay for this? Yes or no? So thanks, Jeff. And JB East here in dark New Zealand is going to say good night and good morning to JB West in his morning there in France.
Yeah, the sun's coming up here.
All right. Jeff, thanks so much. And this will be interesting when justice is done.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye, Jeff.